on the 5 to 19 film education programme. I also had the enormous pleasure over the past year of working with about 25 colleagues from 20 countries across Europe developing this film education framework for Europe. I have four colleagues here I'm going to interrogate shortly about the framework, but before we do that, I'm very pleased to introduce Mark Reed from the BFI, who led the development of the programme.
Thanks very much, Scott. I don't know why I'm going to stand here, so you can hear me probably. We have Saturday conferences at the BFI in London. We finish at lunchtime. So you can see what lightweights we are. It's been said very often before. So we've got half an hour, and it's very good of you. We just want to see if we can engage you in this, in a framework of film education, which, as Scott described, was funded by Creative Europe, which is the European Commission, has a kind of cultural and media programme. And about 4 years ago, the BFI and a group of people did a big survey of 31 European countries to look at the state of film education across the European Union. And one of the recommendations we made after the survey was that we'd found programs, projects, curricula, infrastructure in all of those countries that was fragmented. There wasn't a kind of coherent body or a coherent voice behind film education. So the first recommendation was to devise a model that would explain film education pretty much in a page, and that's why it's so detailed. But we have managed to get a range of important dimensions of film education on a single page, and created as a framework. And when we were thinking about, you know, how to describe, how to go about the framework, curriculum framework, an education framework process, and we thought this is the thing that happens with Curriculum for Excellence and in the Northern Ireland curriculum, is that you start with outcomes. So you think about what it is you want to happen to people by the end of whatever educational process it is. That said, you have a curriculum framework here, you have a curriculum framework in Northern Ireland. In England, we still have a national curriculum, which is a prescribed list of things that you have to do and know. It's a bit backward-looking, so it was very good that we could focus on, that we could use as a model, curriculum frameworks from other countries in the UK. This actual page is based on, there's a page in the Northern Ireland curriculum framework, which uses very similar headings. So just to call out, we started with an overall aim. So what we hope is that people would buy into that aim as being the kind of driving force of anybody in film education, inspiring, equipping people across Europe to be able to access, enjoy, understand, create, explore, and share film in all its forms throughout their lives. You know, that's the high level business. And then in this kind of big blue box, which we've got the heading Film Sensibility, we've got a range of things that we think together contribute to the development of a film sense or a film sensibility in anybody who's going through a film education process. So across the purple, that kind of purple triplet across the top, the creative, the critical, and the cultural dimensions of film education, they're the three C's that we've talked about at BFI and lots of others over a long period of time. And then we drill down a little bit into very specific areas of film learning. So, and they are about what's specific about film, as opposed to any other art form or medium. The fact that it's a social and a collaborative process or set of processes. The fact that it develops critical personal response. The importance of wider engagement with film. The importance of the historic and the institutional context behind film and other moving image media. And then this overarching thing about the reflection on all of those aspects and things that you've learned. And then we have a set below that, a set of outcomes which we think can be derived out of those areas within a film education. I'm not going to read them out, but you can see them. There are how many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 10, is it? 12 even. Yes, 12. Yeah, I can. And then underneath that, what are the kinds of experiences, the kind of education experiences that we think learners should have access to in order to achieve those outcomes, you know, to link to those outcomes. So that's the yellow experiences line below there. And then we wanted to make some connection to the dispositions or attitudes that film education supports and which it, and also which it requires. So things like curiosity, empathy, aspiration or ambition, tolerance and enjoyment. If we think we had this thing about pleasure, that this actually should be an enjoyable process, people should have fun doing it, and we shouldn't kind of hide from that and be worried about that. And then outside the film sensibility box is the rest of the world and the rest of people's lives. So we want to be able to connect the film education processes to individual personal development, civic responsibility or responsibility as citizens, and to the employability, that being fully enabled in relation to film and the moving image ought to make people more employable, not just in the film industry, not just in the creative industries, but across a whole range of employment areas. Just like being able to read and write makes you employable in any one of a number of different careers, we think a facility with a moving image ought to be able to make you more employable per se, rather than just in the film industry. Okay, is that 5 minutes?
Yeah, thanks very much, Mark. Thank you.
Shall I sit down somewhere?
Yeah. So, would you take your seats, please?
No, I can't see this.
Mark? You have a seat? I'm not saying
So, I'll ask some questions. When you answer, could you say a little bit about who you are, your context, and then the question? So my first question then is there any kind of particular aspect of the framework which you would particularly value or that you worked on during the framework? Who's going first?
Hello, my name is Maria, I'm from Greece, I'm coming from Athens. I'm a filmmaker and also a media educator. I work with Scott in as well, closer for the framework. I'm more on the creative side as a person and in my workshops, but what I appreciated very much through this work is exchanging views with other people in this field, and the fact that I brought back again to my mind the whole spectrum of film. Like, it's not only about creating or only about watching or only about reading film, but this, every time we have to keep in mind the whole sphere of how what a film can be for a young or an older person. I think we need to care also for the whole range of ages around us, not only for young people.
Sure.
Oh. Hi, I feel I should say, ask Scott if I can phone a friend. It's terrifying. However, I'm Alicia. I'm the head of education at the Irish Film Institute in Dublin. Delighted to be here. Just to say, regarding the framework, I think for me and for the Film Institute, it was very exciting to be able to learn from other organisations. Several film institutes were represented within the framework working group, but also different kind of organisations. And how, to use the cliche, we're all a bit the same, but we're all very different. And to try and turn all those different and similar ideas into one document was a fascinating process. So for me, the process was probably the lasting memory.
Hello, everyone. My name is Kelly Alcott, and I work at the Swedish Film Institute in a department that focuses on children and youth cinema and education. What I found to be fascinating about this process was that I kept in mind the question of what can a film experience be? And I think this is like a core just a fundamental question to keep in mind when you engage and think about what film educational processes can be, because as this shows, it can be, you can watch a film, like an English film in an English class, and it can be a process of, learning more about the English language, or it can be the themes that the film is dealing with, or just like a film from another part of time, so you can have a film historical process. So that was like the key question that I had in mind when I was engaged in this.
Hi, everybody. My name is Victor Reia Batista. I work at the University of Algarve. I teach there and I research. And I'm a film freak there too. And there's something missing in the framework, is how to become a film freak. Maybe next time. When we have been working in this project, we have been dealing with all these questions. And personally, I was much involved with the last area of learning. So it's reflexive learning. And this has had a great impact on my daily practice with my students, because when we watch films in every way, I mean in the movie theater or in YouTube or whatever, we are learning something. It's always a learning process. But when we teach film or different aspects connected to film, this teaching process is not necessarily always a learning process. And we have to reflect upon this. And this area helped me to think about it. I mean, for example, if you take out the pleasure from in the classroom from watching films, then probably all the construction goes away. But reflecting on these things have been a great issue for me, and the project really was very good on it. I think we did some progress.
Thanks, Victor. You three answered the question about, you know, talked about the kind of process for you and what was important for you in that process. But reflecting on the framework that we have before us, are there particular areas in there that are that you would wish to that you see as being particularly valuable? Or is it the whole thing?
At our institution, for instance, we have a project where we're following 5 partner schools and sort of testing various film pedagogical processes on them. And I think what we decided after this was that we would create this project based on the like conclusions of the framework. So we're going to really try to incorporate creative, critical, and cultural into the things that we will try in these schools. So I think that's an answer. Was that an answer to your question?
Yeah, no, that is an answer. Yeah.
I think what I find valuable is the mapping of the whole sphere I was talking before, and the fact that also native English speakers chose the very correct words to put on this map, and it makes you each word I can see makes connotations to things that happen in schools or outside schools, within the family or outside, or in the streets or wherever learning, formal or informal, can happen in relation to moving image. So I find it quite good to have these very interesting words put in relation to film and media literacy. It makes good connections to the broader spectrum of teaching and learning for me.
For me, or for us at IFI, I suppose it was the area of outcomes, the dreaded learning outcomes. In Ireland, a syllabus of education has been introduced. It's currently in implementation, and it's caused uproar amongst the teaching community. They're still on strike about it. I suppose there are many challenges in the new syllabus, and largely a lot of those are down to assessment. How the types of, it's a framework again, the new curriculum, and how the types of learning involved at junior cycle, as we call it, which is about GCSE, kids would be 15, 16, how they can be assessed to reflect the kind of learning experiences they've had over 3 years. And so it's all outcomes based, and teachers are going mad trying to figure out, well, is that an outcome, is the learning statement, and so on. So to see that worked out in a Europe-wide way, and how everyone had different interpretations of what an outcome was, I think that's kind of fascinating, if that doesn't sound an odd thing to say. Outcomes can be so many things. So even when we were trying to come up with what are the outcomes for this framework, there were a million discussions. And then looking at Scottish curriculum and seeing what those outcomes are and looking at our own, it is kind of interesting. And also, if we find them confusing, we can just imagine how students find it confusing as well.
Callie talked a little bit about how you're going to use the framework. Would any of the others like to talk about how you might use the framework in your context?
Well, we are already using it, and it helps a lot to make clear, to visualize these words, helps to talk about them, and especially to authorities that are important, for example, for teacher education. I mean, in my country at least, these questions have almost disappeared from teacher education. And this helps a little bit to show that maybe we are making a mistake. So let's look at it.
In the battle over the outcomes thing, is that going to be of any use to you, do you think?
Yeah, sorry, I knew I should have phoned a friend. I'll bring in the next description, whatever that other thing was. I suppose I can't necessarily say it's useful other than, well, it is, because we got so caught up in Ireland on what outcomes are. And in terms of the IFI, we've devised a short course in film watching, making and sharing, and it's taken us, this is a course that will be delivered over 100 hours, and it will form part of students' junior cycle education. It's really exciting for us. All our work is now becoming part of curriculum. That's fantastic. Nobody might do the course, that's another side, but at the same time we've spent hours and hours developing it along with a lot of teachers and related organisations. So the thing of outcomes, I suppose it's bothered me now for maybe 2 years, a few other things as well, but I think having this framework and seeing it so clearly laid out, and I kind of look at this, I haven't done this yet, but I will look at this and map it to our own short course and see what the parallels are. And I think there can only be learning from that for me and also for the organisation.
Okay, well, I'm not for a state institution. We're an NGO, a small NGO. However, we very often do teacher trainings, and I think this can be useful in those non-formal institutional trainings as well, because the actual thing is the situation is similar. Teachers do want training in media all over Europe. This is my experience, and I think the kind of questions they ask are similar. I've had this experience in other countries as well, and it's very encouraging to see that there's not much difference whether you're in Greece or France or Germany. So that's a relief for me, being down south from a country with a lot of problems. So this is encouraging, and it means that the main questions about film literacy and film education are still similar. That the digital world is, although some of us might have more iPads than other people, the questions about storytelling, about how this is incorporated into learning, are the same. So this is why this is helpful.
Great, okay. If you want to download the full version of the framework, then it's on the BFI site. If you just Google Film Education Framework for Europe, you'll find it on the BFI site. We have other colleagues who worked on the framework. May I ask you to put your hands up, please? Colleagues from Spain, Finland, Denmark. Should any of you wish to speak to them later? Can we open the floor for questions now?
It's a delight to see that the assessment word isn't on that sheet. Lucia's mentioned something. Perhaps you'd like to talk about that, please.
Well,
okay. I'm delighted too that it is not here. All of us that teach, we know that assessment is a very difficult question. And if you want to be serious in some areas, maybe sometimes it's better not to put it there than to put it just for the sake of it. And what we discussed, and this, there have been heavy discussions around this issue, but we found it rather soon that each context must have its own assessment. It's not saying that let's just do this and freak out and don't think about it anymore. No, you have to assess it, but you have to assess it according to the conditions of your context, and not giving within a framework to put things about assessment. It would be very easy for some people to say, you have to do like it says there, put the cross there and the cross there, and we didn't want to do that. It's very important that it remains feasible and adaptable and valuable for each of our countries, which have different contexts on these questions. So this is very clear, I think it's very good, but it is still flexible and it's possible to adapt to each context.
Other questions? Come on.
I have a question.
Yeah, go on.
Can I put the question to you? Do you think you are going to? Do you think this is going to be useful in any way for your daily practice?
Yeah. It's interesting to see some of the connections that can be made. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
You should be able to hear me anyway. Interesting to see some of the connections between the labels you put here and what we already have with intercurricular for excellence, but especially where skills for employability are concerned. A lot of the things we see here, like curiosity and how that connects with creativity as part of a skill for learning, life, and work, there is so much crossover here, it seems almost ludicrous that moving image education doesn't feature more strongly within the traditional curriculum. There's not a safe place for it within the CFE outcomes and experiences. It doesn't say, oh, here is where moving image sits. And maybe that's what we need to work harder in Scotland to find where it can happen across learning, in the same way as literacy and numeracy and health and well-being feature.
It might be worth just fleshing that out a little bit, Joe. It's called a film education framework for Europe, and in Scotland we've tended to use the term moving image education, which I applaud and approve heartily. You'll see in the framework, the full document, that the word film is a capacious term that includes all moving image. So when we say film education here, we're not talking about feature films, that narrow band. We are talking about moving image education, but it's funny how the term film, the word film, has kind of changed over the past 10 years. If you were to say film 10 years ago, you would think feature film, but now it's kind of morphed a bit, and it's a bit closer to being that kind of catch-all term, because moving image has, as a result of new technology and so forth, it has kind of bled and filled in all these different gaps and become this part of a kind of wider media universe, if you like.
Can I say something?
Yeah, please.
Oh, yeah. Just to pick up on what you're saying there, there was one of the discussions I remember, there were quite a few discussions actually, and I remember it was really clearly the notion of film, and it was said again and again, let's not be afraid to talk about film, like film is an art form, and that we try to reflect that in the framework as well, but being confident in the fact that we are actually talking about film as art and not necessarily pieces of media. It can be short film as well, but very particularly that it was film
the art form of film to recognise and acknowledge that. Because very often, certainly in my experience, film is often filtered through other subjects, and we're not often given the opportunity to actually work with film in its own right.
Yeah, absolutely. And the specificities of film blog up there, we talked a lot about that, and that was in a way our kind of address to those things that Alicia's been talking about.
Just as a question about, it's really fascinating to hear from different countries and different perspectives and your own perspective on film education. I'm just wondering, looking at the framework, what's your biggest challenge moving forward? Which part of that framework are you reflecting and thinking, that's where I'd like to go, or where do I go? How do I use it? How do I get teachers to use it? How do I make it something that's practical and visual in reality?
The question is, how a teacher can use it?
What's your challenge to make it practical?
How you could make it practical?
How do you make it
how
real?
How do I make it practical? Can I answer? Yeah. Okay.
First of all, I've got a map with some little territories there, and what I would do is I would make up or fit in modules, training modules that I already have in my pocket, to match these different words that I was talking about before, and how also to create connections between those two. I think there's many ways we can decode film language in small pieces and offer it to other people, and this is exactly what we could do. Already some of the workshops that happened here this morning, if you maybe slightly twist them a little bit or take part of it, could fit into this framework, and there are many other things one can fit in. For example, okay, group work and these things is quite easy. It happens always. Collaborative processes, that's very easy. Historical and institutional context, there's archival film, there's a lot of ways to work with archive. Specificities, this is the film language per se, the form, and for example, I could think of many things, and I think it would be a matter of putting down film experts and teachers together, and they could make a very nice practical thing.
Sure. Regrettably, I think we're at the end of our time. We only have 30 minutes, I think. That's right, isn't it, Philip? Yeah, and it's now 5:30. Are there any kind of final burning questions, or shall we finish?
Sorry, I kind of almost wanted to take issue with the point that was made earlier, but it's perhaps a specific point. One of the hardest problems that we have is getting acceptance for actually studying the film as a viable text. The SQA would laud, because they are quite happy to develop materials for studying text or film or moving image or call it what you will. But the problem is that as an English teacher who adores and has taught the media on and off for 20 years, I know I've got the training, I've got the knowledge, and I've got the confidence to deliver that in the classroom. But many of my colleagues, it takes, you know, they are quite happy just studying traditional text because they're safe, they've tried to test it, and this needs to have some high level support and push in order for it to be seen as an acceptable means of adopting a text in class.
Well, Philip, I don't know if you want to take this one, but I mean, it's we're in the same position as you. You work in Perth and Kinross. What is the view of Perth and Kinross local authority about the moving image? You know, that's kind of where it, that's where the decision is made. Philip, do you want to?
One of the key target subjects for my project would be English teachers. Our approach to CPD is to engage not just with subjects across schools, but to go into the secondary school and its associated primaries in a cluster. Because it always defeats the purpose just to work with secondary English colleagues. What we have to do is do it a bit at a time. We approach secondary school with its clusters, and that cluster can become comfortable in using the film and moving image. Then you build a community of shared practice. You also help with transition from primary into secondary, and that really much helps sort out that cluster. And we're approaching Scotland a cluster at a time. There are 363 state secondary schools in Scotland. Over the span, we're hoping to deal with 121. Now, we're not going down the route of asking for schools to volunteer. We're actually working with the authorities, and they are nominating the schools with whom we work. Because it would be very easy for us to check it. The schools that we quite like to work with would be an easy one. But we're not here to do the easy job, we're here to do the real job. With respect to Kerry and Ross, they are going to engage the project next year, but at the moment their priority is working on a program called Tapestry. I think you're familiar with that. So they're keen to do this, but they've asked that we engage next year rather than this year. So we will be in touch. We are just starting to gear up now. We've got something like 27 clusters across Scotland identified and going to start work. And we've approached a number of other authorities who are still in the process of getting back. One got back yesterday, another got back the day before. So we're now somewhere in the region of about 34 to 35 clusters. First year of the project, we're hoping to tackle about 50 clusters in total. And even when we were sitting at 27 back on the 11th of September, we were talking about nearly 200 schools involved. So we'll get round about one third, which for a project is not bad over 3 to 4 years. So it's too big a task to get over 363. And we reckon that a third is a sizable start in any one authority. What we're also trying to do is move away from putting in external experts. We don't see that as a long-term sustainable approach to CPD. We don't see that setting up courses and inviting people from all over to come in and undertake those courses is viable. That's what we used to do. Italy hasn't worked. So we can build up local expertise, local confidence, collaboration, communication across the primary, secondary. As we see divide, that's called transition. It's very often a divide. We think that's a better way of encouraging people. Now, we don't want to go in and just simply do training sessions. There's a bit of that to begin with. But once we've got beyond about 3 or 4 sessions, so that the cohort that we're working with, we want to try to work with a team of people from all schools in the cluster over time. Once we've got beyond that sort of activation point, we want them to start the cluster saying, right, this person here's got a good idea, go and support them in their classroom, take this forward. We think that's a better model of sustainable CPD. And then to develop up people within the cluster who can champion it. Clearly, English teachers have a very, very important role to play. People such as yourself would be absolutely valuable to us. So we've got to mark them for next year. So I think that's probably what I want to see just now, because we have over time.
Just one final point, which ties that back to what Joe said earlier, which is that you do, all of you, have permission to do moving image education or film education in your class, because the definition of literacy in Scotland includes all texts that society values and finds useful, and for the avoidance of doubt, it lists them. Film, television, games. So it's all there. You have the permission. I understand that there's a whole load of politics and history in your way, but you have the license to do it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.